speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Why do we not believe in the Old Testament? And you will recall from that lesson, we do believe in the Old Testament. We believe that the Old Testament is inspired by God. That all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and verse 17 declare that. And in that, we do not believe that we are bound by the commandments of the Old Testament law. Why? Because Jesus nailed the law to the cross, taking it away, giving us a new and a better covenant, of which now, in the Christian age, we must comply with, fully understand that covenant, and live according to those precepts that God has given us under this final covenant in this final dispensation of time. Hence, one church is what God established, and that one church must abide by His doctrine. So the person said, based out of that lesson, how is it that there's only one church, and that only that one church is going to be the ones going to heaven? We talked about this in part this morning, and whoever submitted the question or the statement, I hope that maybe they were here and heard that, because I'm not going to go back in and lay out the fact that God prophesied about the church, Jesus promised the church, and then we had the presentation of the church. I'm not going to go into all that detail, but I'm going to go into the context of what God supplies us in the epistles. Take into consideration what the Apostle Paul wrote to the saints at Ephesus in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech or beg you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. They were called by the gospel, and they were called to live their lives in accordance to the will of God as New Testament Christians. How, Paul? With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another with who? With those who have done likewise. With fellow Christians. With those who are indeed members of the one true body. You say one true body, how so? Know what he says. Endeavoring to keep, verse 3, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In other words, Christians must work diligently each and every day to make sure that we are unified in a manner that will be pleasing and acceptable to God. And then in verse 4, he defines, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There's a series of ones there, is there not? And he begins by saying that there is one body. If you look down in the next verse, he says there's one faith. Well, what is that one faith? It's one system of faith whereby that God speaks to us and whereby that God expects us to know Him and to obey Him beginning in baptism. And hence, the one body would be represented then of the one church. You say, how do you know that? Turn over with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. Paul, by what he has said in chapter 4, expects the reader to know what he's already said then in chapter 1 and verse 22. He says, and He put Him, meaning God the Father, put Him, Jesus, and He put Him, and He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Now somebody says, well, that says church. How's that the body? Know what he says in the next verse. Which is His body, the fullness of Him who dwells in all. So the church is to be under Jesus Christ. He is the authority. And in this context, I believe that God knew that many would say, well, there's a multiplicity of churches. There's a number of different bodies that are acceptable to God. And God brings it all together to say that He gave Him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church. You'll note there's an article. What does that article mean? It specifically identifies that it is singular in nature. He says, gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. Now, let's not only look at it from a contextual standpoint, That is, what it actually says in the context of the Scripture about the church and the body. What's it also say about the head? It gave him to be head over one body. What if there were multiple heads to that one body? We would say that that's abnormal. And if there's more than one body to the head, what would we say? That doesn't sound right either. So from a scriptural standpoint, as well as from a logical point of view, God very clearly identifies that there is but one true body that glorifies Him that was established by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Also, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. In this context, Paul is speaking to the saints at Corinth, and he is identifying the importance of each member of the body of Christ. How that every member has been blessed by God with talents. And we know in the parable of the talents that we need to invest our talents. And whenever we do, God's going to give us an increase to our talents. And now we need to continually invest those talents in the works of the church to the glory of God's name. And yet at Corinth, evidently, as well as I would trust other places, there seems to have been some sort of an idea that some were more superior in the church than others. And friends, it doesn't matter from the eldership to the deacons to preacher to any of us. We are all equal in the sight of God. We all have different roles, and some of those roles carry a little bit more weight to them than others, meaning the elders have a huge role to play in the church, and we carry a huge responsibility before God, not only for our soul, but for the sake of others. Yet at the same time, God looks at us as individual souls and a part of, here's the key, a part of His body, collectively, on a local sense, but then also collectively on a universal, from a universal standpoint. Note verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For as the body is one, and I believe that that one there would speak primarily or mostly about the unity. He says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one, so also is Christ. So we are one body to be unified together as that one body. And what will determine whether or not we are unified? The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17 said that he spoke the same thing in all the churches. And in all the churches there meant from a universal standpoint to every congregation he was going to. And the way in which we are able to be unified in a way that will be pleasing to God is if we preach and teach the same thing that is being taught in every other congregation that belongs to the Lord, that bears His name. Verse 13, for by one Spirit were you all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave nor free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. One body. Yet many members. In the denominational world, the many members oftentimes is deciphered as to mean a multiplicity of different denominations, all different types of churches, different types of faith. But friends, that's not true to the context of what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and following, nor is that school of thought supported anywhere in the New Testament Scripture. Rather, we are one body, and we are to be committed to the body and to understand what it is to be a part of the one church and to proclaim the one church continually to those who are not a part of it. Why? Because their soul is important to God. In that, according to what we find, by the words of the Apostle Paul, who was speaking, hence, on the behalf of God through inspiration. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24, he speaks explicitly in that context, in the great resurrection chapter, that in the day when Jesus Christ returns, that all rule, power, or authority will be laid down, and He, meaning Jesus, who is the purchaser, owner, and head of the church, will deliver up. Note what he says in that context. the kingdom, singular, specific to that one body that has been taught continually in and throughout the New Testament Scripture. So why do we say there's one church and that one church is what's going to go to heaven in the end? It's because this is what the Scripture teaches. And hence, in that, we are not presenting a we are better than anyone attitude in presenting that there's one church and one faith and the saved in that's going to go to heaven. Rather, we are stressing the importance for others to wrap their understanding around the Scripture as well as then to comply with what the Lord says as it pertains to these matters.